It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Mark, chapter 13, starting from verse 1.
And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Okay, now here we see, they ask the question, look at this beautiful building. Matthew chapter 12, verse 6. He says, greater than temple is here. So this time he didn't say this, but these people were thinking great about the temple and the temple building.
But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple.
This place means he's talking about Jesus Christ. He says, instead of saying, I'm greater than the temple, he says, someone is here, is greater than the temple. Verse 42, Matthew 12, verse 42.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Now Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon and greater than the temple. And so this time he did not say, why are you looking at the temple? I am greater than the temple. But he answered them, you seeing all these stones very fitly together, but the day is coming, and each and every stone will be taken off, and there won't be any stone on the top of each other. They will all be thrown down. Mark chapter 13, verse 3.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them.
Now here they ask a simple question. It was not an easy answer, and they would not know what he is trying to say. In this chapter there are several subjects are coming. He did not say exactly the date or exactly the month or when this temple will be destroyed. This temple was destroyed. What Jesus Christ is trying to tell these people, he was not just telling when the temple will be destroyed. He was telling when he will be coming back. So he was saying, those days somebody will, crisis here, crisis there, so don't follow. When they take you to the synagogue or the council, don't be afraid. Don't think what you're going to say. Don't even practice what you're going to say. But the Holy Spirit will give you the right answer for the testimony against those people. And so this thing happened right away when Jesus Christ died and rose again and went to heaven. And the disciples start preaching. Peter was put in a jail several times, and James was killed, and many disciples were scattered. And so this thing did happen. They took him to the synagogue, they took him to the council, they told him to not to preach the gospel, but they kept on doing it. They were thinking at that particular time, as Christ said, it can happen any time. They did not know what the real time is. That was a very good message Jesus Christ gave without giving the dates or time. Verse 10, he says, the gospel must first be preached. Please read. Verse 10.
And the gospel must first be published among all nations.
When you say first preach, must be preached, or publish, that means preaching or printing or any form, gospel should be preached before Jesus Christ comes. So those people really, really start thinking, we have to hasten of Jesus Christ's coming. So they kept on preaching and they kept on going to different places. And we see in the book of Acts, first of all, even the Jesus Christ told them, according to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. But they were still not going anywhere. Then something happened. The Saul started killing Christians and destroying Christians and pulling out of their houses and killing. And then he took the permission to go to Damascus. There were some Christians there, to kill them and put them in a jail. That's the time Philip went to Samaria and started preaching, and all other disciples then scattered because of the fear of Paul. The verse was given that you should be my witnesses around the world. And this verse, chapter 13, verse 10, also said the gospel must be preached all over the nations. They were not doing that fast, but when Saul was persecuting, then by the grace of God, they start preaching the gospel. And then Paul was called, and he started going to the heathen nations, and the gospel was preached. And the word of God says in book of Acts, we learn, people start saying to Paul and Silas and Paul or Barnabas, these people are coming here. These people made world upside down. That means this much the gospel was preached and everyone knew who Jesus Christ was in that particular world. But now the world is expanding. People are getting houses in every corner of the world and the languages are multiplied. People still make their own dialect on more languages. Hundreds and thousands of languages are there, and the Bible is printed in many, many languages. Still there are people sitting in some corner of the world and they don't have a Bible in their own language, and still people are working and making the Bible in their languages. So this word is saying gospel must first preach. So it didn't say if you can, preach. If you don't. Must. So each and every person should know this is the command. And the people don't take literally. Many people think, oh, it's not my job. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a paid servant. I'm not going to do it. Let the pastor do pastor job. It's not a pastor job. Each and every believer who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that is their duty to tell others what Jesus Christ is all about to them. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 13, verse 11.
But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost.
Okay, this is a very, very comforting word. Sometimes you go to court. Sometimes people unexpectedly ask you questions. Sometimes they will drag you to somewhere. You don't have to be afraid. God will give you grace. If somebody is asking us about Bible or about Jesus and about your salvation, we don't have to worry. Jesus Christ will give the right answer. Sometimes you read the Bible, and when somebody's asking you a question, even though you didn't memorize, the scripture will come to your mind. And you say, wow, I read this for a long time ago, and I was not even thinking about the scriptures. We depend on the Holy Spirit, depend on God as we study the Word. But if you reading the Bible, studying the Word, and then it is not difficult for us what to preach. There was a one preacher with me, and each time he would say, Brother Peter, I don't have a message. could you give the message today? And I was young, so I said, oh, sure, I will give the message. When I give the message in half an hour or so, he will then pull my shirt and he said, now stop it, I got the message. And then when I preach half a sermon, then he will expand on that subject and finish. So he was doing every Sunday. And when I said, why you don't get the message? He said, well, I don't read the Bible as much as you read. And so he gave me a chance to go and start Bible studies and different churches I used to go. God gave me grace to, within a 1 week, have 4 meetings. And 1 meeting, we have some open meetings and this and that. God gave me grace to study the Word. And that's why I told people many, many times, you woke me up from the sleep and say, today I have to go a certain place and preach. I would never say, why didn't you give me notice? Why didn't you tell me earlier? The Bible says, be ready, season, out of season, and every time. Every time we should be ready, and we should not be afraid what to preach, because we are depending on Holy Spirit. Okay, Mark 13, verse 12.
Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Now see, when somebody reads these two scriptures, they might be thinking, hey, why we need this Christianity? If I become a Christian, or if I follow Christ, my brother will hate me. My father or my mother will kill me. I don't want this kind of religion. And he says, for my name's sake, everybody will be hating you around the world. But he says, endure unto the end. Now, this gives a very good example to the people who believe in eternal security, or once you saved forever. Here he says, you cannot say, I got saved, and now I'm not doing anything, and I'm just hiding for myself, and I don't preach, I don't testify, I don't tell anybody I'm Christian. That's not a Christianity. He says, endure unto the end. Means we have to keep on doing what we're doing until the end of our life or until Jesus Christ comes. And so somebody would say, I don't see anybody's father killing son and brother killing brother or family member killing each other. We just heard other day, one girl became a Christian and her own parents wants to kill her. And there are so many people are killing their sons and daughters because they believe Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Even the Sadhu Sundar Singh, when this Punjabi man became a Christian and they give him poison and his friend died and he didn't die. So he came to know that my parents gave me poison. But thank God this man was a good believer and he suffered a lot for Christ's sake and whole family got saved. And so this is Christianity. Once you know we are living for Christ and when we die, we go to heaven, we don't have to kill somebody to get 70 virgins in heaven or something like that. That's not a God's purpose. We testify, we live for Christ, and if you die for Christ, we are going to make it to heaven. So the fear of death should be taken away. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and sound mind. Once we're serving the Lord, and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are completely sold out to Jesus Christ, the fear doesn't come. I'm telling from my own experience. The places I went to India, now if I say, people don't believe, and they will say, you're foolish to do this. But I was inspired by the Spirit of God to go to Muslim mosque and preach, going to Hindu temple and preach, going to Hindu convention, and all the Hindu people are standing there and go and preach. And now it looks like impossible, but I did it without a fear. I had not slight fear that somebody will kill me. And then not only that, some places they told me, don't go to this town because they kill all the pastors and Europeans and Americans. But I went to those places too. If I was married, I don't think anybody will allow me to go. But now, sometimes you have to listen to your wife. My wife would say, listen to Sarah. Okay, so here the word of God is saying, we have to preach the gospel, no matter somebody kills you, no matter somebody try to destroy you, this fear should not come to our mind. If somebody denies Christ, he's not going to make it. Other day somebody told me, the man was a pastor, as a Christian, and he denied Christ, and he went to the cult and started worshiping devil, and he died, and then some pastor came for the funeral, and they said, he died because God cut his life short, otherwise he would have gone to hell. What do you mean otherwise? He already did the hellish things on earth, denying Jesus Christ. How much he has to do to go to hell? He was already his road to hell. Hear the word of God say, endure until the end. You cannot say, one day I'm saved, another day unsaved, and then I will be saved again. You don't have time to play game with God, because our time is precious and life is very short. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 13, verse 14.
But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains.
See now, the disciples simply ask the question, what will happen to this building? And he says, building will be destroyed, every stone will be thrown out. And then they ask the timing. And he will be talking to later on. But here, this scripture is given. It is not going to happen in front of our eyes, because Jesus Christ is going to take the church. This is going to happen in the great tribulation. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow. The church has to be gone before this thing happens. I'll give you a couple of verses to read. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31.
And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate.
Verse 36 to 38, same chapter.
And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all.
Okay, now when he is saying he will not recognize the real God, he will not have desire for women, means he doesn't have a desire for the wife or woman, and so maybe he has a desire for something else. So that's the kind of Antichrist or the demonic person will be persecuting the children of Israel. Okay, now verse 38.
But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things.
Now from this, sometimes he thinks he doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe in a God who created heavens and earth, but he will be making his own God. Only nation today worshipping the heathen gods is India. And there are other religions, but India has 33 million gods. And in the kings of the East, they say when the Indian people gather together and come and join with this Antichrist, I don't know. And so he will be taking one of their gods, or he can make his own image, or he can make other gods and worship them with the silver, gold, and precious stones. And this is what this Antichrist will do. You are in Daniel, go to the 9th chapter, and verse 26 and 27.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Now here we see the Antichrist. First he comes like a good guy. Bible says in Revelation, he doesn't come with a bow and arrow. He comes with a bow alone, means no weapon. And so he's tried to be friendly with so many nations. And we are seeing these European Union people going to every nations and trying to be friendly even with the Israeli people. The Word of God says they are going to make a covenant with Antichrist, make a covenant with the children of Israel for 1 week. And then middle of the week means 7 years. They are talking a week, but we are talking 7 years. And middle of the 7 years, he will be breaking that covenant. And then he is going to destroy their temple, a new built temple, and try to do the demonic things, what we read a couple of chapters before. This is what's going to happen. And he will mesmerize some Jewish people to telling them, I am your real Messiah. Because Jesus Christ says, somebody say, I am Christ, and so don't look for him here and there. So Messiah means Christ. So they will be believing this Antichrist as their own Messiah. But when he start destroying their temple or making unholy or doing abominable thing in the temple, that's the time real Jewish people will come to know that he is not their Messiah. Okay, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 15.
And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be.
Now see, Jesus is saying, affliction or the persecution or the tribulation or the trials coming to Israeli people in the end time, he says that kind of trial never came from the beginning of the world and it will not come after also. But this is terrible. In the tribulation, people will be asking for death, and death will not come. And they will be having lots of sorrow, lots of pain. And then he's saying, when the Antichrist will coming after them, we learned in Book of Daniel, he will be sending the flood to destroy them. But in Revelation, the Word of God says, God opened the earth and the flood was swallowed. So God will protect his people. And then God is saying, now when this thing happen, you run to the mountain and escape. Don't go inside your house or don't go here or there. Just run to the mountain. And then he says, if those days, the ladies who are pregnant or feeding the babies, it will be difficult for them to carry the baby or run, or pregnant and running, it will be difficult. So he is trying to say, the days are horrible, days are coming, and so it will be difficult. When I was in India and reading this verse, I didn't understand anything. He says, your running should not be in the winter. Verse 18 says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. And so I was thinking, what is difficult winter? Because in Bombay city, winter means not that heavy. We just wear a sweater or without a sweater, winter time. And so I thought, what is a big deal about this winter? But when I came here, then I came to know, how are you going to run when the snow is up to your thigh? Then I understood why Jesus is saying, pray that your running should not be in a winter time. And so that makes sense. And then he says, this kind of affliction never came before. So that's why it's called great tribulation. Your own brothers and sisters and your father will kill you. book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and verse 14, it says, when we are born again, God sends his angel to minister to us. We do not have to worry. This great tribulation is not even started. This tribulation is ordinary tribulation going around the world. We saw the problem in China. We saw problem in India for a while. We saw problem in Pakistan. We saw problem in Russia. That is not a great tribulation. The great tribulation, he says, you never heard about it before, from the beginning of the creation of the world, and you will not hear after that. So the great tribulation is coming after the church is taken to heaven. Okay, go to the Mark chapter 13, verse 20.
And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days.
See, there are 3.5 years, very bad persecution. He says, no flesh will be saved, but God is going to shorten the days. I don't know, now the day is 24 hours. I don't know how God is going to shorten, only God knows. But God will protect his people. Devil cannot kill every one of them. Okay, so let's read verse 21.
And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect.
Now, this scripture is saying that false Christ and false prophets will come and do the signs and wonders and seduce people. And these scriptures took the Baptist people, and when the Pentecostal and full gospel people start healing and doing miracles and signs and wonders, they start saying, oh, stay away from these people. This is what the Bible says. No, this is what the false Christ saying against Christianity, doing the evil things and doing signs and wonders and turning them from Christianity to some other religion. Those are the people we should be staying away. Not the Christian prophet and Christian preachers and Christian miracle workers. But the people took this kind of thing and tried to scare people. Some people got mixed up. When you preach about healings and miracles and God can do miracles, they're thinking you are this false prophet and you are the false Christ. The Word of God says, on earth we are his hands, his feet, and we are his workers on earth. Jesus Christ is not bodily here. We are bodily working for Christ. So the people do not believe in healings and miracles. They will take the scriptures and tell you, this is the Bible, there is no prophets, and there is no healing and miracles, is already gone. And they don't believe in even the more than 12 apostles. But the Bible says in a book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, many apostles, not 12, many.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.